May his love be with you. The love of God the Father, who has given us this life to live. May the forgiveness of Christ be with all who believe. May the presence, the power, the comfort, the strength of the Holy Spirit dwell within us. The portion of the Bible that I will use for this sermonette this morning is taken from the first chapter from the book of Joshua. Basically, I'm preaching from the first three chapters, but I will just read you this one verse. God speaks and says, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, and never be in despair." I know why you're here this morning. Because at this seminary, you know that you have no right to hear unless it be his word. That you have no right to speak unless you speak for him. That you have no right to live unless you live for him. And you have no right to love unless you love him first and you love him most. Can you see him standing there, bewildered, lonely, afraid, pondering the words that came to him? "My servant Moses is dead, and you will take his place." And perhaps he looked out and he saw over a million people with all their possessions and all their animals. And he saw the warriors, and he saw the priests and the Ark of the Covenant. And he knew this was where Moses had stood. Moses, who had gone to the children of Israel when they were slaves and brought them up out of Egypt and taking them to the promised land. And now Moses was dead. And the people had reached this wide, beautiful plain of Moab. And as he, Joshua, stood there, he saw the plains of Moab in the back, and he saw in the front the treacherous, swift River Jordan. And it was deep. And in the spring, and it was springtime, the waters were overflowing the banks. It came rushing down from the north and swept to the south, emptying into the Dead Sea. And they stopped. And naturally they stopped, because you can't cross it. And yet God spoke to this man, standing in front of these people, this man who was bewildered because he was taking the place of Moses, and this man who was afraid because he had to lead these people across this insurmountable task, the River Jordan. And God said, "You cross it. You cross the River Jordan." And what a predicament. What a predicament. But we know something about predicaments, don't we? You've had one. I know. So have I. Or maybe some of us are in predicaments now, and if not, we will face that kind of a situation tomorrow or tomorrow or tomorrow. And what do we do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. We turn to the book. And there we have those words, "You call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." That's what we do. And we turn to this book again, the word of truth, and he says, "You come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." And we hear him say, "Cast your care not upon yourself, cast your care upon me." And he says in John, "He who comes to me, she who comes to me, I will not cast aside." That's what you do. The time comes when you reach that predicament as Joshua did in the children of Israel, where no one can help you and you can't help yourselves. You go to God because you know with just one single word from God, all your troubles are over. You get God on your side and you trust in him. Another way of saying it is you start taking God seriously. You take him exactly at what he says in his word. This is how I think we ought to start each day. We who take his word seriously, and we who are going to teach people to take his word seriously and take God at his word. Say, "God, it's morning, and I'm going to take you exactly at your word, because you have said, call upon me, come to me, cast your cares upon me. He who comes to me, I will not cast aside. And so, God, I'm going to trust you. So forgive me my sins. And Lord, will you heal my illnesses if it's your will? And Lord, heal my broken heart. I've been abandoned by a wife. I've been abandoned by a child. I've been abandoned by my friends. Lord, Will you warm my heart in love towards others, not in envy, not in jealousy, and not in revenge? Lord, will you comfort me in my loneliness, and will you smooth my brow of nerves, and will you lift my burdens, and Lord, because I trust you, ease my head at the moment of death. And you see, Lord, I'm only asking what you told me to ask. I'm only believing what you told me to believe. I'm only trusting what you told me to trust. I'm only doing what you told me to do. And that's what Joshua did. In his moment of that great predicament, that insurmountable task as he faced this River Jordan, he turned around to his people and he said, God has told us to cross the River Jordan, and we're going to prepare ourselves before we go. And we're going to take 3 days, and we're going to prepare ourselves, and then we're going to cross those waters. Do you know what you're doing right now? You're preparing yourself. And your words are like his, because he said this to the people. Maybe there was a great uproar, I don't know. But when he said, we're going to cross the River Jordan, he automatically then immediately said, this way we must go. Even though we have not passed this way before, and you prepare yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. What a magnificent promise to all of us, especially you students who are going to be ministers very soon. What's a year? What's 2 years? That's such a little drop of sand on the seashore of life. And you're going to stand up and you're going to say about that unknown ministry like Joshua, this way we must go, even though we haven't passed that way before, and we're going to prepare ourselves. And then the Lord will work wonders among you. You're preparing yourselves, and sometimes it doesn't seem so easy. Whether it's dogmatics, whether it's homiletics, whether it's eisegetics, whether it's hermeneutics, whether it's history, but no matter what you prepare yourselves in, there are two things that you must prepare yourselves in more than anything else you learn here. And when you go out and you have prepared yourselves with many things, but above all two things, then you give those to your people. And you know what they are already, but I'll just tell you again. You prepare yourselves in number one to know that you're a sinner. And number two, thank God that you have a Savior. That's preparation. Sins, take an investigation of ourselves, all of us. Sins of the mind and sins of the body and sins of the hands and sins of the feet. Sins of the soul, sins against a wife, sins against a husband, sins against a professor, sins against a student. Sins even against a beast, that still sins against God. Sins of doing and sins of not doing, sins that are dominant in our life, sins that aren't dominant, sins that we willfully do and sins that we don't willfully do, sins of intention and sins that we don't intend, sins of jealousy, sins of vice and sins of passion and sins of crime. But we don't have to prepare ourselves so much to know that, do we? But thank God that second thing that we know and we're going to prepare ourselves to do, and that's to believe that gospel, that's the good news, that Christ died for me, that he died for me. And when that day comes, and if we do stand before the judgment seat of God, and if we do hear our sins being recited, oh, in that crushing, terrible agony of that moment, if it comes, then someone will come over, and his hands will be scarred, and he will place them upon your shoulders and mine. And he will say, Father, that's the truth. That's exactly what she did. That's exactly what he did. But Father, I'm here to announce that I'm solely responsible for their sins. Father, I went to the cross not as their example, but as their substitute. And by my divine suffering, by my divine life, by the resurrection, they have forgiveness, and my blood, yea, a half a drop, cleanseth them from all of their sins. Father, let them pass into the gates of eternal life. They are my children. They are forgiven. Now you go back and you study your dogmatics and you study your eisegetics and you study your hermeneutics, but you remember that the top two priorities are to know you're a sinner and that you have a Savior, and don't disappoint that love that has loved you so much by keeping that to yourself. You share it. You share it. And the 3 days were over, and they were ready to go. And can you see them in these pages? A million people, And the noise of the animals and the children's excitement as they saw that water rushing from the north and overflowing the banks, and it was deep and treacherous and swift. And Joshua saw the priests with the Ark of the Covenant and the warriors and the people, over a million, and back of them the plains, the mountains of Moab, and ahead of them that Jordan they had to cross. And he was ready to give the signal to go. And you read these chapters when you go back, and you will see that what I used for the text, I'm sure, were the words that made him ready to drop that signal to cross those treacherous waters, because God had spoken to Joshua and said, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong, be courageous, be not afraid, and never be in despair." You can see why he was ready to go. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. There is never a time when we have no hope in God. Whatever the impossibilities, whatever the difficulties, there is never a time when we have no hope in God. Our God is not blind. Our God is not deaf. Our God is not asleep. And we have that faith in him. Whoever has that faith in him, whoever is a Christian by that faith, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, engine chief, all we have to do is to spread our cares before him like a picnic blanket and let him act. "I will not fail you," he said. "I will not forsake you." Too often we think that the victory over the unholy Trinity, the devil, the world, and our flesh, too often we think the victory is up to us. That's not so. God fights for the souls of men. "And I will not fail you," he said in that fight, "and I will not forsake you." Why, I'm encircled by God. We are encircled by God. He cannot fail you. God above me, below, to the right, to the left, beside me, I'm encircled by God. Be strong. Be courageous. I can't rely on my strength. I can't rely on my courage. But he said to Joshua, he says to us, be strong, be courageous, because our strength is in him. Our God is strong. Our God is almighty. Our God is greater than fire and flame and destruction. Our God is greater than water and flood and catastrophe. Our God is greater than all of life's questions, all of life's frustrations, all of life's problems. Our God is greater even than death. And he said, "Be not afraid and never be in despair." We will never be in despair. We may approach despair sometimes. We may be on the edge of despair sometimes, but we will never fall into it if we remember that this Almighty God who is with us has given us his love. And that love will take us through any valley of despair. You want a God who loves you? You have a God who loves you greater than the love of a mother for the baby in the womb. You have a God who loves you greater than the love of a father for his little son, his little daughter. You have a God who loves you greater than the love of a husband for a wife, which is jealous and exacting. And if you don't think that God loves you, look up to the cross and see his love in the blood that flowed from the wounds of his son. And let me tell you something else about that love, and that's why I shall never despair. Because that love of God is unmovable, it's absolute. A husband can stop loving you, a wife can stop loving you, children can stop loving parents, but God cannot and will not stop loving you. And that's why he says, be strong, be courageous, and never be in despair. And he spoke those to Joshua. And Joshua stood up there according to this great, wonderful word of God, and he stood up there and he gave the signal to cross the Jordan. And they started to move, and the priests led the way. And the scripture says that the moment the feet of the priests touched the waters, the rushing waters from the north stopped and arose in a great wall of water, a great heap of water, like an invisible dam. And as they stood, they looked, and there was dry land across the Jordan River. And he led his people to that way that he said, we must go, and we have not passed before. I know that when that time comes for each of you students, and some it will come in the spring placement, and some in the fall, and the year after, I know what you're going to do. You're going to say like Joshua, as I face that unknown ministry, this way I must go. I have not passed that way before. I am prepared. And never forget, when you go out there, those words to you from God. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong, be courageous, be not afraid, and never, never be in despair. Amen. And may his love be yours, may his presence be yours, may his power be yours, and his promises. Amen.